Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All right, Bears Nation, get ready to go. Beyond fired up to be here. This is exciting times. Cannot wait to get to work. Bear down, baby.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That was the video that was sent out of the new Bears head coach, Ben Johnson, giving a little rah-rah to the group.
All that was missing was the claw.
Yeah.
He didn't need the.
He needed the claw.
He needed the Caleb Williams claw.
I thought he did well in front of the room with that group of people. I don't know how that one went. It was fine, but it wasn't.
Are we grading each appearance on camera?
And I will include today's news conference in my grade for tomorrow.
For the final. Yeah, today's the final.
But he's winning so far.
No doubt.
With that performance in front of the crew.
The optics are good.
Yeah.
And they better be, because this is a guy they're paying reportedly as much as $13 million per season.
What? Huh? Does George know?
This is the coach everybody wanted. This is the guy that everybody sought. And that is why when he repeated himself in the address to the assembled employees at Hallis Hall, he said, this is exactly where we want to be. That to me was as important as anything else that he said. I know he said the locker room is what matters, the players are what matter, and those are things that day-to-day will resonate loudest. But
would you like to hear some of that stuff?
Let's hear what he had
Brandon,
to say.
Let's get to his great moment at Hallis Hall.
Okay, here we go.
Everyone get back to work. Listen, thank you so much. My family and I, we are beyond excited. This is exactly where we wanted to be. Exactly where we wanted to be.
Where we want you.
This is going to be a challenge. I am well aware of that. I know what this division's about. And this is exactly where we want to be. We're going to go after this thing, and it's going to take all of us in this room. It's going to take this locker room. It's nothing more important than that locker room. And us serving that locker room and those players. All right? They need to understand that. They need to feel that from us every single day. And if we do that, the wins are going to come. The playoffs are going to come. All right? Can't wait to get to know you guys. And thank you so much for the warm welcome. Thank you.
Come on. That's a nice moment for
the guys. That's good stuff. That's awareness.
Yeah.
That's intensity. That's enthusiasm. That's a coach that is not overwhelmed. A 38-year-old first-time head coach walks into the building that he now owns, essentially, part owner, and he has a crowd that greets him. And
everyone working there came out of their offices.
It was so cool.
Everyone lined the upper area. He walks in and everybody's cheering. It was it's a big, it's a beautiful building.
It's a great
stairway down, and the way it's around, it's really beautiful, and it looks great. And he stands there, and then his son runs up, and then his wife and the two girls she's carrying one. I mean, it was like this,
like it was scripted.
Hallmark moment.
It was a Hallmark moment. It was a family moment, a Bears family moment.
That's right.
And let's face it, Ben Johnson was vibrant.
Yes.
And he walked into a building for an organization that has been sleepy and has been way too just too dormant. And there's not been enough winning. There's not been enough enthusiasm. And Ben Johnson is here to change all that. Let's see if he can. I like that he acknowledged how challenging it is.
Oh, yeah.
How hard it's going to be. He knows the division. None of those teams. Now, the Vikings could come back to earth a little bit, depending on their quarterback situation. The Packers are probably the most consistent team in the division. Look at the Lions. The Lions, Adam Schefter just tweeted this out about 10 minutes ago. They're losing another assistant coach. Defensive line coach Terrell Williams, who worked with Mike Vrabel in Tennessee for 5 years, is leaving the Lions to become the Patriots' defensive coordinator.
Wow.
That's another assistant coach leaving the best team in the division, which is now the count is three. You mentioned Hank Fraley.
Yes.
The offensive line coach for the Lions interviewing in Seattle for the second time.
Yes.
Rumored to be possibly on the Bears' radar. That would be a great get.
Let's hope so.
All of the Lions, their roster will be what determines how good they are, but their coaching staff has made a difference. And it's, yes, Dan Campbell is still there, but all of his staff, most of his staff, the big members of his staff seem to be going elsewhere.
Yeah, and we still don't know if Aaron Glenn will end up as the head coach.
He's out of the building yet?
He made it out of the building. He somehow escaped. But that doesn't mean they can't hire him as their head coach.
Has he escaped New York?
I don't know that.
It's a movie, right?
Yeah.
Escape New York.
Yeah, that's right. I can't think of the name of the character. Snake Plissken? Is that the guy's name?
Boy, that's a good pull. Yeah. I don't have any idea.
Yeah, no, that was...
You could be right, you could be wrong. I have no clue.
Kurt Russell character.
Wow.
The lead character in that, I believe, is Snake Pilsen.
Anyway.
Plissken.
Aaron Glenn is unlikely to be going back to Detroit. Would you agree on that?
I don't know if we agree on that.
He's a candidate at two spots.
But, I mean, he has to get the job first,
okay.
Right? So they're
fair,
still
fair
working
enough.
Through
getting
different
ahead of myself.
People. Yeah,
right.
you gotta
slow
I
down.
Mean, like, here's the thing. You know, I think Minnesota would be impacted if Brian Flores were to leave. But he's not a candidate with the Bears, right? He interviewed here.
Mm-hmm.
But where would he go? Is he interviewing anywhere else? So I think he's going back.
I wonder what Jacksonville is going to do. That job is still vacant. I don't think they have filled it yet. He might have been a candidate there. Yeah, that might make sense. Nonetheless, Ben Johnson saying that he's exactly where they wanted to be. It made me wonder how long he has eyed the Bears, because we know how long Bears fans have been eyeing him. He was the guy a year ago where you wondered.
He was the hot candidate a year ago. He interviewed for two jobs 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he became the offensive coordinator in Detroit, had a good season. They were in the top five. And then he interviewed for a couple of jobs, did not get
Carolina.
Offers. I forget where it went. Was the Houston job open at
point? Might have been.
And Carolina, I think, sounds right. Mm-hmm. They need a coach every year. And then he was the hot candidate last year. And the thinking was that he would be Washington was very interested in him, and that was the thinking that he might end up there. And then he pulled himself out of it, said he was coming back to Detroit. The rumor a year ago was that he was eyeballing the Bears job and thought that if the Bears job opened up, that would be one he was interested in. He didn't want to take a job and then end up someplace where, you know, he's still a young guy.
He's 38 years old. He's 38 years old.
Coach, yeah.
And you wonder about all those things.
Right. But at that point, he decided to come back and try to get it done with the Lions because he liked it so much in Detroit. And, you know, I think that this is obviously, our city is a world-class city. This is a really good job. The Bears are of great interest to people.
Right.
I think that it wouldn't surprise me that he wanted to come here, and he felt, especially after they got Caleb Williams, that this could be a place where he might be able to win. He said in a couple of the things that he had talked about before interviewing in Chicago, he said that he had spent a lot of time this year looking, this is what he told the people in Detroit, that he spent a lot of time looking at the overview of a team and not just concentrating on what he was doing on offense, but also,
right.
You know, so I think as you start interviewing, like, you know, you go one round, then the next year you go, and then on the third year, and I really do feel this way, that if he were to have gone back to Detroit, you know, still
he wasn't going back to Detroit.
But I don't think that would have been a wise move. I think it was time.
Okay.
He was ready, and he was the hot candidate. And
I'm not saying you don't get a job, but like I'm thinking about just Josh McDaniel and some of the ways that he hesitated and finally got a couple jobs, didn't do well at either of them. I just think you got to, at some point, you got to launch. And this was his year to launch.
Well, he identified the Bears as a good job, and I think that was contrary to the way that we probably presented it over the last few weeks. And I think that the perception in Chicago was that the Bears' job was not the most coveted the way that Kevin Warren described it, because we were speaking from a place of experience, because historically the Bears' job has been one that has been full of dysfunction. There wasn't contract alignment with the general manager, and there weren't a lot of things that you would like to see if you're a head coaching candidate like Ben Johnson. And we were under the impression that he wanted all of those things. Maybe he wanted his own guy. Now, turns out he wanted probably to coach, and we'll hear today, he wanted to coach the best quarterback available of the jobs that were open.
Mm-hmm.
And that man is Caleb Williams. And I think that is the biggest reason Ben Johnson may feel like he is exactly where he wants to be, because he sees a pathway to success with a quarterback that should not be given up on, that had a rocky rookie season.
He was up and down. I don't think anyone has given up on him.
Well, I think that we may think that, but there are people out there, his critics.
In the league?
Yeah.
But I'm talking about people that watched him on a day-to-day basis and watched his. I think that there is still a lot of possibility.
There's still greatness in there.
Yeah, there's still some.
There's still greatness to tap into.
But he will be aided immensely by play action, by just changing the process of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe the Bears ran no play action last year, and he runs a ton of it. And that is, you know, one of the reasons that a priority for him will be figuring out the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball. His specialty is the offense, so you got to get. I mean, and what is the number? Is it 3 or 4 or 5 or 7? How many offensive linemen do you need? You're not bringing back a lot of guys. They got guys that are leaving.
Well, you're not going to replace. Realistically, you're going to be adding probably 3 offensive linemen via the draft and free agency.
See, I think you need 3 starters on the offensive line.
That's what I mean, though. 3 starters, because anything more than that, and that's really ambitious and maybe unrealistic. So I think you set the bar where you can clear it, and I think 3 is a realistic number.
How many starters have they lost off that line? And I'm counting Nate Davis, even though he doesn't really count because he never played.
Well, there's a lot of roster configurations.
But he was paid to be a starter.
Yeah, that's definitely not the case. So I'm curious to see how Ben Johnson presents his relationship or working relationship with Ryan Poles moving forward. We'll find out more today about how they, you know, collaborated, how they got along during the process. It's suggested by the comments by both guys in the statement that that's going to be something that they are going to feel good about.
Is Ryan Poles a year older than him?
Maybe 39 to 38. Their paths did not cross at Boston College. They were both graduate assistant coaches at Boston College, but I think that one came after the other. So they may have some shared people in their past, maybe could vouch for one guy to the other, or people that had, you know, common coaches in their background. That always is the case. But how are they going to work together in concert, and how do they address the issue that we know, even though 1 year is a lifetime, Ryan Poles has 1 year left on his contract.
It's 1 year.
Ben Johnson may have as many as 5 or 6 on his deal.
Yes.
That he signed yesterday at Halas Hall.
Oh, he's got all the power. I mean, not only does he have, you know, minimum 5, maybe 6, I don't know, but at, you know, 5 times 13, Mr. David. That is a ton of money. 6 times 13.
Well, the number that was thrown around, I heard, was, you know, 6 for 80. And he was asking for more at the beginning of the process. Yeah. And so that may have been a parameter. We're not going to know for a while, but I do think that if the Bears willing to pony up and pay him a reported $13 million a year, that makes Ben Johnson the 7th highest paid coach in the NFL. Think about that for a second. Do the Bears have anybody who is in the top 10 at what they do in the league?
Well, I mean, that's a great question.
They do now in terms of pay.
I would think
the expectation is they do now.
They got a couple wide receivers that probably were in the top 10 after DJ got his extension and Keenan Allen.
Not now, though.
No, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's hard to look at that list of wide receivers and see DJ Moore's name in it. I don't think he's a top 10 receiver right now. And the Bears don't really, you know, Jalen Johnson, top 10 cornerback, probably.
But is he paid like a top 10 corner? Probably.
Mm-hmm. But the point being, they are paying for a head coach with the expectation that he will be.
How far does $100 million go for a defensive end? So, you know, Sweat got a $99 million deal. Is that top 10?
Payment, perhaps. Production, no.
No, those are different issues.
Yeah.
We're asking who on the Bears are paid among the top 10 at their position in the league. Yeah, I mean, I think, David, that when you think about the talent on the roster, you're not going to get very far unless you build in the trenches, right? That has been the knock on what's going on with this team, that when you draft a quarterback, you draft a receiver, you sign a receiver, you trade for – you didn't build the thing from the ball out. So you're going to have to get to that. And that's what they did well in Detroit. And that's going to be the biggest difference. You can have all the plans in the world and all the schemes and all the ideas, but if you cannot buy enough time for the quarterback to be able to run the plays – it's going to be a problem. And they have three all-pro linemen in Detroit, and they got none here in Chicago.
That's true. And I'm looking forward to seeing him address that fact.
I want to hear him talk about
what his plan is for the offense and who he thinks among the offensive linemen has the best chance of either catching or throwing a pass.
Oh, see, you keep making that joke, but they need their Penny Sewell. They need a top level offensive lineman they can run behind in short yardage situations. You need a couple of those guys. But Sewell, you know, I know they ran that trick play and that was dumb. But, it wasn't dumb. It was arrogant.
Now that he's the Bears head coach, nobody will think it was dumb.
Yeah.
If they run it next year after leading, it'll be fun. I think Ben Johnson will be fun to follow as a play caller. I hope that the responsibilities of being a head coach and the losing that may come first before they win doesn't ruin things. And I think that that enthusiasm that we saw yesterday isn't dulled by the job. It doesn't become beaten down by how challenging it will become, because he's got his eyes wide open. He said that it's a difficult challenge. He understands all that, but he still... this is the way you want to approach it, with enthusiasm, with energy, and with confidence.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we'll see that from him today, and that's what he needs to show. I don't have any problem expecting him to appear to be kind of the leader that he now is. So I think he's got to control the room. He's done tons of news conferences. This is not anything new. And I'm just trying to think of coaches, like what's the worst news conference you ever saw from a newly hired coach? It might be Nick Sirianni, believe it or not.
Oh, that yeah. We're going to have any viral clips today from Ben Johnson
that was a train wreck
going around and, because of that, the way Sirianni's.
And he ended up working out, right? Yeah. Wouldn't you say he's worked out?
Yeah, he has worked out pretty well there. He is the guy that is I think you win the press conference, it doesn't mean anything. You lose a press conference, you can still win.
Yeah.
The press conference is the press conference. It's for teams like the Bears that have the offseason typically outweigh the regular season.
Well, that's the problem. You know, don't win the offseason, win in season. That would be – what is it? Outcome over process, right?
The outcome outweighed the process this time. Yeah, the process was worthy of criticism or scrutiny and all those things that we did. But the outcome, they got their guy.
All right, we got Dan Wiederer. He's going to join us next. We'll get Dan's take on everything going down with the Bears and what he expects today from Ben Johnson. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
We're gonna have systems in place that are easier to learn. Dan Wiederer.
You've got a guy with credentials, you got a guy with some qualifications, and now there's just, when done at its best, provides a level of steadiness and stability that helps create and stimulate success.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
Listen, we're not going to accept the status quo. We are going to push for more. We are going to strive for more.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Dan Wiederer with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Bear down. Let's go.
Always good to talk to our friend Dan Wiederer. It's Mully and Haw, and Dan joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Dan, kind of an amazing outcome. Ben Johnson, the Bears end up striking quickly and getting the top guy on the market, really. Just not something you might have expected.
Yeah, no big deal, right? Absolutely a massive move for the Chicago Bears on Monday. And, you know, obviously, if Bears fans were worried about the anxiety this week, they should send Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels a nice thank you note for accelerating this process and getting them to where they needed to get to, which is an introductory press conference today with Ben Johnson at Halas Hall. So it'd be fun to kind of hear from him for the first time, to hear him lay out the vision and probably more immediately tell us why he moved so quickly and why he was so attracted to this job.
How did we get from predicting that Ben Johnson would be seeking a job that did not have the front office with the general manager that was in his way, to him arriving at Halas Hall and talking about working together and Ryan Poles still being there with 1 year left on his deal?
Yeah, I mean, clearly in the interviews and the connections that they made, there was a connection made, and that there was a vision that was shared, and now those two guys will go forward trying to recalibrate where they want to take this football team. And today, I think, David, will be a good opportunity to learn kind of about how they got to where they got to so quickly. Remember, Ben Johnson didn't come in for an in-person interview. No one on that 17-candidate known interview list came in for an in-person interview. And so there was clearly some urgency on both sides to make something happen. They met where they needed to meet, and now they're going to meet downstairs for the first time at Halas Hall. You guys are familiar. We usually do these in the Muggs Halas Auditorium. We're downstairs at the PNC Center today for a new type of production at Halas Hall.
Yeah, that's where they do the draft, right? And that's where they do the Piccolo
Awards, really. Yeah. No, the drafts are upstairs again now. And it'll be interesting to see what they have in mind down there. And obviously, we're all eager to hear from Ben for the first time and kind of get a feel for who he is.
I'm curious. I was told over the weekend by someone with knowledge of the league that the idea of Ryan Poles as GM was a real hindrance to this process, that it wasn't going to work out, that he had a guy that he wanted. It's the guy that was hired by the Jets, as it turned out. And the thinking was that he may end up, the two of them may end up together in Las Vegas. And that was like Saturday, maybe. And then all of a sudden there's word that, oh, he's going to interview. Like, yeah. And then they get eliminated and then he's hired. It was whirlwind. And you look at that and you think, how did having his own personnel guy to being thrilled that Poles is there. I mean, that's a big victory for Ryan Poles, no doubt about it.
It's a big victory for Ryan Poles for certain. And it's also a big victory for Kevin Warren and his push to push this organization outside of its comfort zone. Because I've described it, Mully, as sort of settle and shrug muscle memory that they have at Halas Hall, where it's like, oh, well, that didn't work out. We'll move on. We've got 16 other candidates. Great. You know, and it doesn't work out. And I think Kevin Warren puts a little extra fire in that building to say, no, like, this was our top guy. We're going to do everything humanly possible to make this happen. I'm going to be very interested to learn, whether it's today, tomorrow, the next couple of weeks, about how Ben Johnson wrapped his brains around all these things and how serious the interest was in Vegas and what the Bears maybe did to turn his head back toward Halas Hall and say, hey, look, don't leave. Like, we know you have an attraction to this job. You know you have an attraction to this job. Let's figure out what's going to make this work. And so that's going to be interesting, because this is the chatter that you said you heard over the weekend. I heard similar chatter, and there was significant worry that the Bears were going to be in danger of missing out. As it turns out, they were no danger or not enough danger to change the outcome. And here you, now you have Ben Johnson, the hottest candidate in this cycle, which we've said, you know, for 2 months now as your head coach of the Chicago Bears.
But how likely is it, Dan, that we all missed the point here when we talk about concepts and intrigue and drama in the front office and dysfunction from the ownership and the organization, that when you're a coach, it's still all about the players. And when you have a quarterback that is in place after an up and down rookie season, that was the biggest attraction, that Caleb Williams outweighed everything else about the Chicago Bears and the challenges that come inherently with that organization. And he's here because of number 18.
Well, I'll spin it back on you a little bit and say that I don't think the point was missed here. I think the point was understood, and it was like, don't allow yourself to settle when you have all these other things to sell, including number 18, right? Like, so don't say, oh, well, you know, we might get the third or fourth best candidate on the market, despite having all of these things in place, draft capital, salary cap space, the quarterback. Make sure you get it across the finish line. And the Bears did. There's no question that from the outset, from the day Matt Eberflus was fired on the Friday of Thanksgiving weekend, that everyone in the league knew that Caleb Williams was going to be an attractive selling point for the Chicago Bears. For a guy like Ben Johnson, offensive wizard, mastermind, guy who's proven himself also as a play caller over 3 years, the intrigue and the appeal of that was always going to be there. Clearly, that is where he wanted to make his biggest career leap at. And now it's up to him to kind of put that puzzle together in a way where they get the best results out of both of them, out of Ben and out of Caleb. And, oh, by the way, you're going to have to figure out how to refurbish the offensive line, which is something that we have made a point on for 3 years now. Like, get the offensive line fixed, and then let's see what the play caller and the quarterback can do together.
And to that end, there is a rumor that Hank Fraley could come here as the offensive coordinator. He was the O-line coach in Detroit.
Yeah.
I know he's been out in Seattle. He's on his second interview for their offensive coordinator job. What kind of a coup would it be to bring someone of that quality in here?
Well, look, and I was told as early as mid-December that was a guy that Ben really would love to have on his staff if he can make it happen. Obviously, to do so, you're going to have to give him some sort of coordinator role, probably the OC role, as you mentioned. You will not be calling plays under Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson will be the guy with the play sheet and calling those plays. And so if they're able to get Hank Fraley here and put him in a role where he can have some say in the offensive line, where he can have some say in shaping how this offense of identity comes together, it will be a big deal for Ben Johnson. It will be one of those first steps toward getting him someone on his staff that he's very familiar with, very comfortable with, and can build the momentum there. You guys know as well as I do that like there tends to be a big exhale after the introductory press conference for a head coach, and yet there's so much heavy lifting inside the building to assemble a winning coaching staff, and that's the next chore for Ben Johnson. So if he was able to get Hank Fraley to come along, I think it would be a great victory for Ben and the Bears.
So, Dan, you know the team as well as anybody. When you look at the roster and you understand what just happened, how far away are the Bears from being the team that we thought they could be in August, the team that would be kind of flirting with respectability, maybe sniffing around a playoff spot, and being a team that could be respectable and credible come December and not just looking ahead to the next season?
Yeah, I mean, show me the roster when we check into training camp. Let's see what they do through free agency in the draft. Let's see who Ben deems is worth keeping on this roster. And there may be some casualties of guys that don't fit the vision of either the offensive overseer or the defensive coordinator. And you're going to have to do some reshuffling there. Look, like, we know the Bears were set up to be competitive in 2024, and it all fell apart way too rapidly and way too dramatically. And so now you've just got to find some functionality in how you get this thing off the ground. This is the first time Ben Johnson's ever been the head coach of anything. And so he's going to have to learn, what does it take, right? Like, to get the plane away from the gate and onto the runway and then ready for takeoff. And so that's going to be a process here. It starts here in the next couple of weeks with the staff. Then obviously we go into the roster replenishment cycle of March and April, and we'll see what kind of strides they're able to make. I do think it is worth noting that the Detroit Lions are suddenly in scramble mode, right? Like, you may lose both coordinators, and those coordinators may pluck a handful of assistants from your building. So Dan Campbell is going to have some heavy lifting to try to keep that program, which is currently the one that took the North and is trying not to give it back, on track, right? Like, the Lions are going to have some work to do to make sure that they don't lose all the momentum that they've built over the last 2.5 seasons.
When you think about the kind of team building aspect of it, Dan, I'm just curious, retaining the general manager, you know, he has, you know, a personal connection to a lot of different guys. Like he selected these players. He brought them in. I mean, that would indicate less turnover than normal, even with a coach that's more powerful and has more money and has more. It'll be interesting to see the level of roster turnover, given what different coaches want from their guys and given what the general manager has personally invested in the guys that are here.
Yeah, well, and it can occasionally get tricky in trying to unify a vision. You know, it can occasionally get to a point where you don't see eye to eye with what you need at a specific position or a specific position group. And you're going to have to work through those bumps in the road and figure out, you know, how do we resolve these things? How do we compromise in certain situations to build the type of football team that we think can win on a regular basis? And so that's a process here now that Ryan and Ben, who I don't really think had much of a prior relationship before, you know, New Year's Eve, are going to have to put together, you know, like they're going to have to build their relationship together and figure out what are the wrinkles that we need to smooth through. And that's not always easy. And that's part of this process that the Bears will have to lean into here as they go over the next couple months.
So today, 11 o'clock, Ben Johnson will meet the media. He'll have his first introductory press conference. What do you expect to hear? And as grounded as you continue to be, how would you advise people to not get carried away with another coach winning a press conference?
Well, look, like I never get carried away with the end results of a press conference. There are no columns in the win-loss standings for how you did on your first day of the job at a podium. But I am going to be looking today to see what Ben Johnson's presence is like. I want to kind of get a feel for his communication methods and his communication effectiveness. I want to see his personality. You want to feel some charisma. You want to feel what I call and get ribbed on in the media room a lot for, the juice. Like, what kind of juice does he bring into a room, and how is that going to translate into a locker room, into an auditorium when you're holding the team meeting, into a position group room? And so you want to get that first impression of who Ben Johnson is as a guy in front of the room, right? And what does it feel like to be in there with him? I think that's going to be a big deal today. And then we can interpret it for the next 5 months until they check into training camp. But those things are important. And I do want to hear about his vision for this football team, but also how he went from walking into Ford Field for a home playoff game on Saturday afternoon to agreeing to a deal to become the Bears coach, you know, about 40 hours later on Monday. That's a whirlwind timeline. And I'd like to hear a little bit of the insight on how that all happened.
As I keep telling David, Nick Sirianni once had an introductory news conference. Losing that thing as badly as he did didn't stop him from working out as a coach. He's still alive, for God's sake, and he's been to a Super Bowl.
And he might be going back to another one, right? Like, they're favored at home this weekend to go back to another one. So look, like, yeah, you can't get carried away with the conclusions you draw today, but it is important to, again, like, I think just feel the room and have a sense for, okay, is this going to translate? I think even going back 3 years ago, that there was a little bit of hesitation in this city and probably on this station about Matt Eberflus. And it was like, okay, you know, that was kind of the feeling you left the building with that day, was, all right, I guess this guy's in charge now. And you don't want to feel that today, right? You want to feel like the hottest candidate in this hiring cycle is hot for a reason. And part of that reason is because he can stand up there and make you believe in what he's selling.
Quickly, Dan, before I let you go, how surprised are you by the reports that Ben Johnson will be earning $13 million a year?
Surprised in what regard?
That the Bears were the ones paying that $13 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not as surprised as many, because like I say, like I know when Kevin got in that building 2 years ago, there was a sense that like, look, like there are ways of business and ways of doing things around here that need to change. And I sensed going into this coaching search that was going to be one of them, that they weren't going to lose out because they suddenly got stubborn or practical or prudent on that front. And so not overly shocked at all. I think they had to go meet Ben Johnson where he was, and they went ahead and met him where he was.
Yeah. It's, you know, again, if they can put together the dream staff they're talking about, that's going to be a lot of money too. There's a lot of VPs up there, and there'll be a lot more big salaries also if they manage to get some of the people they're talking about. Great stuff. Thanks, Dan.
All right, guys. Enjoy the day.
Thanks, Dan.
That is Dan Wiederer. It's a lot of cabbage.
Bears are stepping up. But yeah, you know are. What? They should. This is the third largest market. It's a crazy, a passionate football city. And if you want the best, you've got to pay top dollar.
And that includes stadiums.
That includes stadiums. And if you want to
hear a word about that.
Though. Well, we'll probably hear some about that today. Yeah. I think if Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles are available today, that's got to be part of the conversation.
312-644-6767. Is there anything you don't want to hear? Is there anything you're worried the guy might say that you just don't want to hear? It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score.
This is exactly where we wanted to be.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score. That is the voice of Ben Johnson, and he will be exactly where he needs to be this morning at 11 o'clock when he has his news conference, not just the meet and greet with the applause, but the reporters asking him questions.
Chances are he'll say exactly what you want him to say,
yep.
But he might say some things you don't want to hear. You referenced a few. You asked the audience for participation. What would you not want to hear from Ben Johnson today? What qualifies as something you think would be?
I think uncertainty. I think I want him to have an answer for every question. It doesn't, you know, he can be uncertain about who currently, if you ask him a question about the tight end, he can say something nice about the position and about Komet, but he's got to talk about, more than, I don't want to hear him say, well, Mercedes Lewis is definitely back because he and Gerald Everett.
He'll probably avoid those kind of things,
right? I think
he
needs to avoid any specifics.
Talking generalities.
Yes.
Talking positive.
Positive comments about the quarterback, positive
the
stuff.
The tone will be enthusiastic.
Yes.
I think the ambition will be interesting. Where do you set the bar? What is the standard at Hallis Hall now? Yep. Is it the division? Is it the Super Bowl? Is it just to get to the postseason again and win a playoff game? He said yesterday in his talk that there will be playoffs, and they're coming. The playoffs are coming.
That's right.
They've got to come. This has got to be one of those big swings. This is a home run hire. But for it to, feel that way today, the momentum has to continue, and we totally expect that. I did not expect to see or hear Ben Johnson be as rah-rah as he appeared in that clip.
But that was the place for it.
Definitely.
That's the people that working is. There, and that's the,
You've got to excite the masses. You've got to walk into the building and have everybody look at you and feel a little bit differently about going to work that day. That's what hiring a guy like Ben Johnson can do.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, what I don't want to hear, and I don't think you will, I think this is a guy who's, majored in math and in computer science. We have a texter. I don't need the Hitz principle or whatever the answer to that is. I don't need an anagram. I kind of agree with that.
Him to solve the equation.
Yeah, but solve for X.
Solve for X.
Yeah, don't give me some weird, word puzzle.
This might be the first Bears head coach, though, that knows algebra to the extent that he does and is good at it. Maybe we can save that for another day. But it's very impressive. They said there would be no math. They didn't talk about Ben Johnson taking the job. There will be math. He will be good at those parts of the job.
Well, I mean,
late game.
So
clock management, you would think he would be excellent at that part.
How good is he at math if he was a math major? In other words, can you figure out all the odds in your head and make a determination?
He's not doing back of the envelope math. He's doing it in his head.
Jimmy Johnson has a genius IQ. I know that's a crazy thing to even talk about, but the idea was the guy could sit there and as a game was unfolding, he could run through different scenarios and make a call without hesitation. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about someone with a math brain.
In a small snippet, didn't you get the sense that Ben Johnson's quick on his feet?
Yes.
He's quick. He's reacting. He led with a joke.
Get back to work.
Yeah,
that
he responded to this moment.
Yes.
And he's not going to be, I know it's a little thing, but again, you never felt like Dan referenced. Well, we walked out of the Matt Eberflus press conference 3 years ago, and you're like, yeah, okay.
No, you didn't.
But today, I think you're going to walk out and say, okay, we get it. We get it. We right. understand what all the fascination is about. We understand how you can be nothing but impressed with this guy.
Again, you're kind of now you're putting an expectation on him too. I don't know that we're going to get come out of it that way. I hope we do. I hope he carries himself well, and I hope you. But there's going to be an answer.
There
where
will be.
He says something yeah. where you're like, nah, wait a minute. Oh, they don't have that.
Well,
no,
yeah,
that's not going to work. I'm just saying.
I do wonder.
That's a natural thing when you're answering as many questions as he'll be asked.
Let's talk to somebody who knows him pretty well.
John Shoup, the former Bears offensive coordinator, is credited as the man who encouraged him to get into coaching. He played for John Shoup at the University of North Carolina, and that was his offensive coordinator who encouraged him to become encouraged a backup quarterback to become a coach.
A walk-on.
And we will talk to John Shoup next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.